nature that we all possess doesn't want you to be generous. It wants you to hang on to what you've got really tightly. And the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to be generous. Or it's my own self. Well, now, check yourself and make sure you're not being prideful, but I can tell you, bottom line is, I want to hang on to my money, and I don't want to be generous. We're all selfish like that. So if it's not coming from the enemy, and if it's not coming from my own sinful nature, it may just be a hand of God in my back saying, here, just do that. Be generous. Pray. I don't know. But is that just a little too practical? You know, and this could be applied to anything. You know, we talk about, you know, we seek and we want the operation, the gifts of the Spirit in our service. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid. What if it's not God when I speak out? So? We're not going to slap you down. I mean, so? But what if I get in the flesh? You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm not going to get up there and dance around and worship because that's in the flesh. Well, you know what? Last I found out, until I die and go to heaven, I'm going to be in the flesh. Hello. Everything I've ever done for God, I've done it in the flesh. And you have too. Come on. He never took you outside of your body and caused your spirit to do something over here while your flesh was... That never happened. And so whether it's worshiping him exuberantly, or whether it is doing an act of generosity, you're going to do it in the flesh. Let your flesh glorify God. Hello? But I'm afraid. What if it's not the Lord? So, you're in a safe environment. We all love the Lord and we love you. Stick your neck out. I would rather miss the voice of God, attempting to follow the voice of God, than have him constantly prodding me and be paralyzed by fear. Hello. And so sometimes the voice and the leading, is this okay that we talk this way? Sometimes the voice and the leading of God will come to us, not with a great big thunderstorm and not with an earth-shattering volcano, but sometimes the voice of God will come to us with a simple hand in the back, nudging us and encouraging us to do or say. And as long as what you're going to do or say is not harmful, go for it. Let God use you. Let God use you. Aren't you thankful for when God used other people? Wouldn't you like to be on this other side of that? I know I like that when that happens. Another example, real quick. I want to look at Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. This is from the New Living Translation. It says this: and so the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, and the enthusiasm of Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people, and they begin rebuilding the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. So you've got God giving Nehemiah an idea to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the walls. And you've got God building enthusiasm to get the temple rebuilt. They weren't able to go to the Torah and say, thou shalt go and rebuild the walls. Thou shalt go and rebuild the temple. No, no. God gave them enthusiasm. God gave them an idea. God prompted them by his Spirit. And so one of the ways, and by the way, this word enthusiasm, it's made up of two Greek words, actually. This is really cool. You're going to love this. It's made up of two Greek words. And those two Greek words are en, E-N, imagine that, and theos. You know what that means? God is in it. that awesome? And so God was in it that they would rebuild the temple. He gave them enthusiasm. He gave them a God idea, and he was in it. Man, this to me, it is so freeing. It is so freeing. Even my enthusiasm under submission to him can be God's direction for my life. So how can you tell if it's God prompting you? How can you tell? Well, one of the ways you might be able to tell is if you're enthusiastic about it. But now we're going to clear that up in just a minute. It doesn't mean everything you're excited about is God. Hang on, we'll get to that. But one of the ways that God might speak to us and prompt us is by just, yeah, I'm pumped. This is exciting to me. I'm enthused about this. If you've got a burden for it, it just might be God. If you've got a heart for it, it just might be God. Well, the Lord's, I've really had this burden on my heart, but I'm just not sure it's the ministry for me. Why wouldn't it be? What's he going to give you a burden for that for? If it's not for you. I'm just excited about this, but it's not for me. Now, you know, that didn't make any sense. I've really got a heart for this particular thing, but it's not mine to do. I've learned a lot since the very first church that we pastored. I'm a little bit more tactful, sometimes not as much as I should be. But the first church that we pastored, I was 28 years old. 28. I look back at that and think, oh my goodness, what was I doing? And what were those people doing inviting me to be their pastor? I had a lady, she had two grandchildren in the children's ministry. And she came to me all excited and enthused. Oh, yeah. I believe God wants to do some amazing things in our children's. I'm like, yes, I believe that too. I'm just so excited for what God's going to do and how he's going to raise up our children to serve the Lord. And she just went on how excited and enthused she was about what God was going to do with the children. And so I said, that is wonderful. When can you start? And she says, oh, no, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about somebody. So you're all enthused about it. You believe God's spoken to your heart that he wants to do an amazing thing among our children, but it ain't for you. I said, let me know when you're ready to obey the Lord. And I turned and walked away from her. I think I was there for another about 6 months before I had to leave. I've learned a little bit, but the principle remains the same. If God's given you that spark, if God's placed it in your heart, man, why wouldn't it be God's plan? Why wouldn't it be God's direction? And guess what? What if you get into it and you realize, I guess this is just for me to pray about. I wasn't supposed to be doing this. No harm, no foul. We'll find someone else. Right? Right. That's a good preacher. I do want to enter in, though. This is the point where I want to enter in some cautions. All right? Because if we don't enter in these cautions, we might leave here and say, oh, pastor said any kind of thought that comes to my mind is the leading of the Lord. No, I didn't say that. Anything that I get excited about is the Lord's leading. No, I didn't say that. I need to interject some cautions because remember, the only objective truth is God's word. Everything else is subjective. Everything else is subject to the truth of his word. And so here are a few cautions. Number one, promptings are not infallible. They're not infallible. Just because you get excited about something doesn't necessarily mean that it's from the Lord. Just because you're all excited to buy that new car doesn't mean that that's the Lord's direction, right? I have another example of that, and I'll use my own life because I know me better than I know you, and I don't want to embarrass anyone else. Back in, what year was that? I won't even say. Back in the late 90s, I was driving a car It was only, must have been only about 3 years old. But God had been gracious and faithful, and we were able to pay that car completely off. Ran like a top. Still in really, really good condition. But once that car was paid for, I got an itch to upgrade and get the newest model. And and I had this idea. I need to trade it in now while it still has value. And I got myself all excited to get a new car. And so I did it. Traded in that car, got a great trade-in value on it. Got the new, I actually had to order it because the color paint I wanted, and it was like, they had to make it for me. It was pretty cool. And I got that brand new car. And then I had to start making car payments. And then my job situation changed. And then I found myself in a real problem place. Just because I got excited didn't mean it was God's direction. You know what I failed to do? You can guess. I failed to inquire and ask the Lord. Well, I actually did do that, but it was much too late. Lord, what in the world's going on? I never told you to do that to begin with. You just got yourself all excited and jumped ahead of me. I'll give you grace, but you'll learn. And boy, did I ever. So just because we get excited about something doesn't necessarily mean it's from the Lord. Submit that thing to God. Submit it to the Lord. The second caution on promptings is this: they are not always immediate. Sometimes God may be prompting you for the long term. Well, I heard the Lord speak to me, and I just feel this excitement, and I just know this is God. I'm ready to. No, you're not ready yet. You need to be seasoned. God's pointing you in the right direction. He's nudging you. He's prompting you. But this isn't your season. Wait patiently on Him. Sit under those who have experience and spiritual oversight. Promotion comes from the Lord. And so sometimes the promptings aren't necessarily for right now. Sometimes God prompts us with a long-term plan in mind. So keep that in mind as well. And then the third caution I want to introduce is this. They are not information downloads. You know, you go to the internet and you're trying to download this new program or something. And you say, click here for download. Boom. And depending on what you're trying to download, within a few minutes or within a reasonable amount of time, pretty soon you've got all of the information you need about that particular thing. You just downloaded it and it's all available to you all at once. Well, that's not the way that promptings work all the time. It's not an automatic, instantaneous download, and you're going to know everything there is to know about it right now and tomorrow and in the future. It kind of goes hand in hand with that idea of it not being immediate. It's not an information download. Here's the caution that came to me, to my own heart, from the Lord as I was thinking and praying on this. He said, son, if you have to know everything right away, you are not walking by faith. If you have to know everything right now in order for you to call it God, you're not walking by faith. Oh, who wants to hear that? But it's true. It's true. You see, what happens when we don't get the full picture right away, every time, instantaneous? What does it cause us to do? Draw close to Him. Lord, you're pointing me in the right direction. But right now, I've only got enough light for right there. Then step right there. Lord, I still don't see everything you have for me. That's because it's not an instantaneous download. You walk with me one step at a time. You walk with me step by step. My word to you will bring light to your path. And the next thing you know, you'll be able to look and say, oh, look at what God has brought me from. And if he'd have shown you all of that in the beginning, it would have scared you spitless. And you might have run. I know I would have. If God would have unfolded everything he had for my life in an instantaneous download, I think I'd have said, I'm out. Nope, I'm out. I don't want it. And so he knows that. And so that nudging of God is for the next step. And then he'll nudge you for the next step. And then he speaks to you about the next step. And then he opens up opportunity for the next step. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself when I talk about opportunities. But sometimes God will speak to us through opportunities. There's a sneak peek of what's coming. But God will nudge you and he'll encourage you a step at a time. So, when I was doing some reading and I'm wrapping up here, but when I was doing some reading in preparation for this, I ran across, on this topic, I ran across this this writing, and I thought, this is really cool. Someone had asked a group of pastors and spiritual leaders on this topic about the prompting and the nudgings and the prodding of God. They said, it's so subjective, you can't really nail it down. So how can you know if God is prompting you? And so each one kind of gave a different perspective, and then they put them all together, and this is what these spiritual leaders said. Well, number one, how can I know if it's God who's prompting me? Number one, yeah, there it is. When I'm in God's presence, and out of the blue, a thought of encouragement comes to me, and it continues even if it makes me uncomfortable. So I'm in God's presence. I'm praying. I'm worshiping. I'm reading the Bible. I'm submitting myself to him. And something comes to me. And no matter how much I try to dismiss it, it just keeps coming back. And even if obedience to that thing will put me in an uncomfortable position, even then I can't get away from it. Well, you know, you don't have time to. You don't have the resources to be that generous with someone. You can't get away from it. And no matter how much you try, and no matter how much you try to justify it away, it keeps coming back. Even if it makes you uncomfortable, it keeps coming back. That's one way. That's one way. Another way. How can we know if it's God prompting us? Another way. This is what someone else said. Whenever I have a prompting or thought that clearly falls in line with God's word, such as to encourage someone or to reach out to someone or to buy a meal for someone. So you know, you're remaining sensitive to the Spirit of God and you get this prompting. I want you to go and tell that person how they can give their life to me. That must not be the Lord. Well, why would? That's perfectly consistent with God's word. And so whenever we feel those nudges and those promptings that are consistent with his word, it just might be the voice of God. The third way, how can you know if it's God who's prompting us? Well, here's another one, what another one said. Whenever I'm reading the scripture and a verse jumps off the page, and I can't get it out of my mind, even if I've read that verse many times before. That's happened to me before. A passage of scripture I was so familiar with, and I thought I was just going to breeze through it, but I got held up, and I got stopped, and it's just like, I can't get that. I just can't get it out of my craw. That scripture just keeps coming back to me. Pay attention. It just might be the prompting of the Lord. The fourth way. When a prompting is confirmed by my spouse. Now, this is what I was talking about. Sometimes these voices, the ways that the Lord speaks to us go hand in hand. Last week we talked about God using people. When a prompting is confirmed by my spouse or through a random conversation from people in my close circle, especially if it comes up repeatedly. Now, again, we're not going to let just any old body speak into our lives and confirm things for us. But a spouse and someone that we know and that we trust, especially if those people are following after the Lord, and if it keeps coming up time and time and time again, it might just be the voice of the Lord. The fifth way, when the prompting comes with a sense of urgency or some other strong emotion like joy, excitement, sadness, or a burden. There's an urgency to it. Ah! Look, I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody in this congregation had a prompting from the Lord yesterday, because about mid-morning yesterday morning, I received a text. And it was obvious to me, somebody had received a prompting from the Lord. What they wrote to me, it rang so true with my own heart's cry. And it was perfectly consistent with the Word of God. So that prompting, that especially when it comes with a sense of urgency, we don't have time to waste. We're losing time. It's coming as soon. If this is going to happen, man, God puts an urgency. He builds a hot, hot fire in my heart on this thing. An urgency. The sixth way, how can we know if it's God prompting us? Well, here's another way we can help to discern this. When the prompting comes while I am in prayer or when I'm worshiping and I feel the need to write it down. Has that ever happened to you? You're praying, you're worshiping, you're just spending time with the Lord. Maybe you're reading the Word, and this thought comes. It's just kind of, well, where in the world did that come from? And you I got to write that down. That may just be the voice of the Lord for you. Final way I want to look at, and of course you could add this to this list for yourself, but these are just, I thought this was really, really great. The final way, how can I know if this prompting, this urging, how can I know if it's from the Lord? Well, here's another test. When an overwhelming peace follows obedience to the prompting. So you're in that restaurant, pick up their tab. And so you do. And they'll never know who paid for their meal, but you're able to sit back and say, glad I obeyed. Man, I just feel that. I just feel that release. I feel that burden lifted off of me. He's not got his hand in my back pushing me anymore. I responded in obedience, and the peace of God accompanies obedience. Wow. Look, all of that to say this. We need to remain sensitive. We need to remain sensitive and reliant on Him, because He will speak to you through His Word. He will speak to you in profound, obvious ways, but sometimes He may just put a hand in your back, nudge you. He may just put an idea in your mind. He may just put a burden in your heart. He may just give an enthusiasm that you could not have generated that on your own. I'm going to give you an example, and then I'm going to shut it down. Is it okay if I'm just blunt, honest with you guys? I mean, by this time, you just know I'm going to be anyway. So, when my family moved here from Missouri, it had been a very, very difficult season. I won't go into all the details, but it was a very difficult season. From an EF5 tornado and all of the results that came from that. And I found myself, I'm just going to be honest, it's okay. I found myself, I told myself, told the Lord. I told my wife. I don't ever want to do ministry again. What His call is on my life, I'm not concerned about all the preparation. I was so discouraged, so disheartened, so wounded. It took me more than a year. Literally, it took me more than a year before I even sang in a worship service. My song was stolen from me. I didn't care if I knew I needed to go to church, but I didn't want to. I just wanted everybody to leave me alone. So hurt, so wounded. And started coming here. Hey, you guys just started loving on us, and those wounds started getting healed. I still didn't want anything to do with ministry. And then somebody nominated me to serve on the board. I didn't want to do that either. Okay, who cares? It's just the board. I mean, you know, I'm just being honest. Still didn't want anything to do with ministry. I would speak for Pastor Foch. What happened, Tim? Am I losing them? I would substitute for some other pastors around the area when they were out of town, but I didn't want anything to do with full-time ministry anymore. I was done. And then Pastor Foshi resigned. And I'm on board. Over a period, God gave me an Lord, we don't ever want to get to the place where we limit you. We don't ever want to put you in a box and say that you can only do this or only do that, and God never does this and always does that. Lord, we don't ever want to be in that place. And so today we recognize that you're so desirous to speak and so desirous to guide our lives and so desirous to put us and keep us in your will, that sometimes, God, you'll give us an idea straight from your own heart. Sometimes you'll give us a burden that nudges us in a certain direction. Sometimes you'll give us an enthusiasm for something we thought we would never be involved in. Lord, sometimes your voice will come to us as a prompt. Lord, make us sensitive. Make us sensitive to your spirit, that we not just run wild with every crazy thought that comes to our mind, but that we know, even if it comes as a hand in the back. Friends, look. I wasn't intending to go this way, but I'm going to go this way. That takes place in a church is done by 20% of the people. I'm going to let you know, 20%